Yeah, dude. So I think you do my job better than I do my job.
How so?
You know, you just see these retweets, reposts every once in a while. Look who I just onboarded to Noster. This super famous person, this creator, that creator. I'm like, damn, dude, I got to talk to Ben. Like, what's this? What's his pitch?
I've been having so much fun with it, dude. Like, honestly, yeah. You just like when you're trying to get people into Bitcoin, you just find certain, it's like an experimentation process of just talking to lots of people and figuring out what is the most common thread that this type of person usually resonates with. And for me, it's always the traveler type folks. I'm always staying in hostels, co-living places, and Bitcoin is just like, it's too much for them, but because they're social, you know, travelers are social beings. So you really hit on the social side, and they also want to get paid because they want to keep traveling.
Yeah, so, of course.
So going straight into Bitcoin, I've found is not the best way to go. But Noster, you can tell them like this is a social network where you can get paid. And I show them like on my screen, like I literally just show them like every morning I wake up and I have a bunch of notifications of getting zapped on Noster. And this is real money. And I also tell them, like, I'm building up my wallet now. So in the future, I can go to a place like El Salvador or a growing list of countries that already accepts Bitcoin. And I can go start buying things with it. So this is like my wallet I'm building for future adventures, you know?
Yeah.
And this really
resonates. So you lean with the zaps.
Yeah, I do. I don't really go super hard on the, like, oh, it's decentralized. You can't be censored because these people aren't really normally, you know, going super against the grain, you know?
Yeah. But isn't the first thing they ask, like, how many users are there? And then they're like, oh, well, how much do you actually make? And they're like, well, it's really just like $2, but, you know, it's Bitcoin, so it might go up.
They don't need
like,
to know how much you're making.
So you glance over that.
Just show them the number going up and say, hey, this is, you know, Bitcoin's very valuable. Everyone's heard of Bitcoin at this point. So we can start from, you know, Bitcoin is here to stay. It's been here for 15 years plus. And just say, like, look, I earn a little bit of Bitcoin for all these posts. If I ever wanted to, I could use an exchange to get dollars or pesos or whatever the currency is out of it, but I don't want to because this is going to be growing. I show them the chart. Look, the chart's going up. This is going to continue growing. I'm just building my end game strategy of going to these Bitcoin accepting places in the future. And again, I emphasize like more and more of them are accepting Bitcoin. So it works.
That's awesome.
And I was, my highlight of doing this was when I was in a place called San Cristobal, Mexico. Not sure if you've heard of it. It's in Chiapas in the mountains.
I looked it up when I asked you where you're at.
Yeah. Super, super cool place.
Yeah.
I was in this really dope, I don't even know if I'd call it a hostel. I guess it's technically a hostel, but it's really like a co-working focus. Mm-hmm. And there were, I don't know, maybe a dozen, 15 people in there. And most of them are staying long-term. You know, like at least 3 weeks to a month. So I got to get to know them really well. And what happened was I started encouraging them all to get on Noster so we could start a little circular economy within the house.
Yeah.
So if, you know, Rashad would always like go buy weed for everybody.
Yeah.
And then if anyone wanted weed, they could just send him some sats for it. We don't have to deal with getting change and getting pesos and like mixing the cash around. Or dealing with any of the other stupid like fiat rails that just charge you, you know, fees.
Yeah.
We just the use that. And that's where this is another thing I touched on was that it has a built-in Venmo. And that's why I onboard people with Primal because you get the wallet right built in. You get the Venmo capability so people can pay each other. So you can just start, you know, this internal, just circular economy. It's amazing. And
did you see the video we posted yesterday of all of us at a table? Zapping each other's sats. Yeah, exactly that. It's like Noster circular economy exemplified. Like, sure, like Primal's got the easiest self-custodial wallet to set up for now, but that might change. Other people might implement like eCash and stuff, but man, it's so cool.
Yeah. There's so many ways to sell it to people because it has the social aspect. You know, Bitcoin is hard to sell because it's almost always going to be some sort of economics financial argument. You're trying to give them because people just think of it as an investment, but everyone's like made social media accounts before. So that's
hilarious.
Yeah.
People ask me, hey, Paul, what are you doing? It's like, what do you do for work? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm trying to start my own social network, but, you know, start a new social media. And it's like, when I say, I don't say my own, But like people automatically assume it's like going to be this little closed box ecosystem that I'm trying to start because I have the biggest ego and you guys got to come join my group. And no, but it's the coolest thing. It's like I'm trying to build on top of this thing that's open for the whole world that everybody can contribute to and make better. But it's, yeah, it is a funny thing right away when people ask like what I do now.
Oh yeah.
It's like, what?
It's getting harder and harder every year.
Yeah, you're right.
We're just like, we're escalating too fast through all of these things beyond the normie mind. So we have
Oh my God.
It's a battle constantly trying to find like ways to explain what we're doing.
And they're just like, good luck, dude. You know, like, but I assume there will be like some real FOMO moments that for Noster, just, you know, big creators coming on, really prominent people coming on, or just Twitter dies, something dies. Something else does the marketing for us. Like,
it's crazy when you think about how like we basically don't have any really big names who came and stayed active.
Like there have been
a few that just sort of blipped in, like RFK came in, made like one post.
Yeah.
Snowden, you know, he posted like once or twice a year or something.
He hasn't posted in months, dude.
Yeah. Like, so a couple people say, oh, this is interesting, I'll jump over, but they don't really stay, and they definitely don't continue promoting it. But
what's the really interesting use case?
One guy I'm stoked about is Ken Berry.
Why is he staying? Well, I'm like, yay! Yeah.
He's doing the best of all the, I would say, like, you know, hundreds of thousands plus followers, people, because he's mentioned it a couple of times on Twitter, and, you know, dude, I am positive that Twitter has like an algorithm of death pointing at Noster, because anyone that mentions this just gets super shadow banned, because my account is effectively executed on X, dude. I get no engagement anymore. It's completely gone. Mm-hmm. I think it's because I'm constantly pushing Noster and I have it in my bio and I'm constantly pushing the hashtag. And like when Ken Berry posted that, he gets like 20 likes on it when he's talking about Noster.
And then on some accounts, it actually blurred out the thing saying,
I saw that.
You saw that? Yeah.
Yeah, that happened on Ken Berry's too. Yeah. It blurted out as like sensitive content.
Yes.
So, and like then, it doesn't even let people see. Like that's
one telling. Other thing that I almost posted about it, but then I verified again and it wasn't quite spot on. But you go and type Noster into some people's account, like Preston's account, and then nothing shows up when you search it on Twitter. But then you refresh it and things show up. I don't know if it was like a connection thing, but it happened like so many times. So there's got to be some funk.
There are a lot of weird things happening.
There's some funk.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bizarre, but it's, I still think, even though like it's completely ruined my X engagement, it's still worth it to use that as a marketing platform, because, you know, the more you dig into it, the more you know that that is the end game. That's where everyone's going to end up. So you, even if it, like, in, we're all so early, as it becomes bigger and more known, the algorithms are going to come even harder against it. And I don't think other platforms have even implemented anything yet, because on YouTube, a couple of my Noster videos do great on YouTube. Like, I feel like they haven't figured out that Noster is coming after them too yet, because they haven't started crushing people to talk about it.
I know. I mean, I can't shut up. It's all I think about. So I guess I didn't introduce myself or anything. I'm Paul. I'm, right now, I'm actually full-time with Primal. So it's literally all I think about.
Let me do an intro. I had an intro all ready to go. Okay.
Oh, you did? All right, sweet.
So this is Paul.
What's
Paul
up?
Paul Keating. He's back for round two. Paul is back. His shirt is not. Two things we like to see. So really appreciate you coming back, dude. I just listened to our first episode this morning to kind of get caught up on what we talked about. And I think that this is great because, like we just mentioned, we've been just exploring lots of things. So we didn't even really talk about Noster at all the first time we chatted. We pretty much just talked about, like, you know, Costa Rica life and why Bitcoin is cool and why the sun is cool and stuff like that. But it's things are happening. And has anything interesting happened to you in the last year, Paul? Maybe to catch up.
Yeah, everything, man. It's so cool. It's just when you stay like just really on that Bitcoin signal, like things happen. I don't know. Was I working for Saladino last time we talked? Saladino?
Yeah, I think so.
So yeah, I was working for Saladino, and then just since I had this vision of being a digital nomad and working for him, let me do that. Then like, since then I've kind of had bigger visions and of what I want to do, and I've found more things to do. And it's just so cool how going to all these like random Bitcoin conferences and Noster ones, and now it's like I'm full-time working on Noster, Bitcoin, really. And even when I was working with Daylight. So I worked for Daylight and Primal, and I had them back. We were going together. And I don't know if you know this, but Daylight might integrate Noster. That's a moonshot vision of having like a Daylight ID, and then just like enter your private key and have access to all your apps, which would be really
super cool.
So they might, they could be sister companies in the future, and that's kind of the future path that I'm manifesting. But that's, it's a long path. That's a long way off.
That would be epic, dude.
Yeah. So
I know that they're dialed into that. Like I literally saw at the Bitcoin conference where I got to meet you in Asheville earlier this year. What's his name? Is it Arjan?
Anjan.
Anjan. I saw him and Jimmy Song showing Sean Baker how to use this thing. Like showed, and I heard them talking about Noster while showing him. So they were like giving them some Noster nudging and Daylight at the same time. So there's definitely a strong like they know what's going on. Like they're thinking forward big time.
It's such a Bitcoiner device. I mean, it's just such a human device. Humane tech. It's tech adapted for humans. If you don't know what it is, it's a Kindle and an iPad had a baby. So you get the full functionality of just like a normal computer. You can throw a keyboard on there, but you can use it outside, and then you can use it at night with a backlight that doesn't flicker, doesn't turn off. The lights don't turn off and on so many times that your brain can see it, but your eyes can't. And it's got no blue in it. So it's just like, it's this device that's actually made with intention and to make the computer a tool again. And I freaking love the thing, and I love the mission, and I hope the best for it. And it seems like it's going pretty well. Smooth.
I got to play with it in Asheville. Like I met Tristan at the first Bitcoin meetup, the BitDevs we did there. I forget the name of the house they have there. Like their cool little meetup spot. And
yeah, Bitcoin Park maybe.
Yeah, Bitcoin Park. That's it. So Tristan let me play with it, and it's so silky smooth, dude. It feels like you're writing on just a piece of paper. And it's like instant reactions when you swipe and everything. It just feels really responsive, really cool. I cannot wait to get one. I want one so bad.
You need one, dude. You need one. Where are you right now? You're in Mexico?
Yeah, I'm in Sayulita.
Okay.
Which is in Jalisco, I think. I just got here like 2 days ago. I haven't like studied the geography or in the area super well. I kind of just send it all over the places. You probably understand.
I know. Beautiful. Do you ever get? Yeah, it's fun there. Do you get lonely?
You know, not really. Not really. I mean, of course, there's always like a little bit of that when you're. Oh, there's always a little bit of that whenever you're like solo for a while, but. I mean, overall, it's so cool that I get to do this, and I get to meet tons of cool people, and I'm just in that sort of mode right now where I'm just working really hard, you know, trying to crank out podcast episodes, a lot of content on Noster and the blog and everything, and I just feel like this is what I'm meant to be doing right now. So I think that like my purpose is above like maximum social stimulus. You know what I mean?
That's cool. So you're able to stay focused while you're traveling around.
Yeah, like I'm here in this place. Totally, like this is a beautiful place. I'm gonna show you. You can probably see my room from here. I'm right next to this pool. I could even go jump in the pool later for this episode if you want to. But yeah, I got my room up there with a little hammock and this gorgeous view of the hills, and the beach is right down the hill. It's just super cool. Man, I was in Puerto Escondido before this too. You've been there, right?
Yeah, I just went there for my honeymoon. Somehow, well, we
no
were supposed
way.
To
that
go
was,
to.
That's Puerto Escondido.
Yeah.
Oh,
we were
shit.
Supposed to
that.
Go for, we were supposed to go to Kauai, but then like we found out my wife's Italian, found out her visa was going to expire. So I was like, oh, let's go to Puerto. We've always wanted to go there. And that was my fourth time there. And man, the waves are insane, dude.
I saw some crazy surfing going on. I didn't actually do it, which is crazy. Like I need to get back into surfing at some point, but I was just swimming.
Sayulita is a really good spot to learn, actually. It's got a really slow wave, so.
Yeah, I want big waves, though.
Oh, no.
I walked around waves. On the beach yesterday, and they looked like really small. It was like kid waves. I feel like the ones I saw in Puerto were big enough to where, like, I feel like I can just go straight up to some medium-sized waves.
I don't know, dude.
I'm a little cocky because I've been snowboarding
humble.
My whole life.
You've been snowboarding your whole life, you said?
Yeah, I've grown up like on board, so
it's such a different game in the water because you could be the most athletic guy, but if you don't know how to read the ocean, you're screwed.
True.
Absolutely screwed.
I gotta just go find out. But yeah, like when I was in Puerto Escondido, I was there for what was like three, two, two and a half, 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I just went swimming every single day. Like, I only missed, I think, 2 days in that entire span. I would just, my place was really close to the ocean. So every single sunset, I would just walk. What's that?
Like where? Puerto or La Punta?
Puerto Escondido. In La Punta. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So right in that main area, I would just walk down, catch every single sunset, and nice, just dude. Jump in the water and just like float in the waves as the sunset. Yeah. It was like, that's the most amazing natural thing you can do. Yeah. I remember that was actually my first memory that really stuck with me the first time I came to Mexico back in 2022 when I was in Playa del Carmen. The first day I got there, I just like went in the ocean and was like, wow, this is so warm and soothing and natural. And the sun set over the palm trees. And I was thinking, like, this place is awesome. I need to spend some more time here. And I've spent a bunch of time in Mexico since then. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe like a third of the last like 2 years combined.
And you're Espanol?
Dude, I am trash. I think I probably have the record for most time spent in Latin America without learning Spanish. It's really bad.
No. You definitely don't. I know some bad ones out here in Costa Rica.
My excuse is that I'm so, like, my brain is so fixated on the work that I'm doing, like the podcast and whatnot, and just building things. It's so hard for me to get myself to do Spanish as like a third, fourth priority.
Yeah, that's like how I really feel about Italian, man.
Yeah. Oh, are you trying to learn Italian too?
Yeah, but then like, yeah, and I got it. The only device to do it on is the daylight, by the way. But yeah, it's like I got so much work to do, so much screen time already. Got to surf, got to go work out, you know, got to do nothing. And then it's like, damn it, I got to learn Italian too. It's just not up there high enough.
I think
I'll go to Italy for Christmas and be so pissed that I didn't learn yet.
Yeah, but this is the way that I think my brain works is I'm just like an all or nothing person. So what I need to do, and I need to do this for surfing as well, I need to just circle a range of days on the calendar where I just take a whole month and just go move into the jungle somewhere and just go to a Spanish school and just completely focus on that. And
well,
nothing else.
I got good news for you.
What?
Well, the reason I was asking if you get lonely, like I kind of have a thesis and I'm kind of obsessed with the network state ideology. I went to Singapore before. In October, whenever it was, September, so I go to Balaji's like network state event, and you know, all the memes of like Carnival Aurelius. I'm gonna go start my own country, you know, basically already kind of living it here in Costa Rica. But I don't know, I kind of had a thesis like, I think we're meant to live pretty close to each other at all times, humans. And I guess you're living in hostels, making new friends all the time, but it kind of drives me nuts when I don't have someone around me that kind of just gets it. And that, in terms of like maybe Bitcoin, Noster, health, diet kind of stuff, lifestyle. But yeah, I'm curious for you, like when you're out digital nomading and you don't have either at least one other dude that gets it, don't you feel like a little bit lonely at all? Or
you know, to me, I love a good challenge. And so for me, it's been sort of a challenge of just going out and finding those people.
Yeah.
Finding the people who are at least open-minded and I can sort of, you know, spill the orange pill and the purple pill onto and just talk about life in a really real way.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely noticing a trend. And I have a decent sample size on this because I've been traveling on and off since 2018. Like September 2018, I went to Australia for a year, and ever since then, I haven't lived anywhere over a year. It's been like a constant movement for the last almost 7 years now, I think. And I'm certainly noticing a trend of more people opening their minds to like everything. Okay. There's very much this awakening and this unlearning going
we're
on.
We're winning.
Exactly.
It's this amazing, dude. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to watch. Like, I love the psychology of it. But a perfect example is, like this place I told you, I was in San Cristobal, like they were all like totally open to learning about Noster and some about Bitcoin. And I also, this is like a super like hippie house too. Like it's out in the middle of the jungle. Everyone there is, you know, wearing all the clothes and covered in tattoos and like all these hippie things that, you know, most hippies do. Yeah. But here I come and I'm, the first thing that I was curious, like, how's this going to go over, is I am a carnivore. I eat like all meat every day. Yeah. Like, is this place going to be filled with vegans that hate me? I was kind of, it, dude, they even like on my little like name plate on the door, they have like a steak on it because they asked me about that and they learned I'm just a meat guy. And so I was thinking like, oh man, this is like the stereotypical like vegan house. Like, what's going to happen? But, and there were vegans in there, but none of them were like angry about it or negative even. They were curious. Mm. Like, people were just curious. And I've also gotten quite good at figuring out, you know, just softly, like talking to people who are, you know, on like the really plant-based train and figuring out where it's failing them, because it's going to be somewhere.
Yeah, definitely.
And like, people are just becoming more open-minded in general, I think. And another example, which is kind of, it shows a little bit of the contrast based on age. That's another big factor. When I was in Oaxaca City, this was a crazy night. Two different like little clusters of friends that I met there. First one was this group of a bunch of Europeans who were just going on a bunch of tours, and I just tagged along with them because they were cool, and I need an excuse to get out and stop, you know, recording podcasts for a couple of days and just go like do some walking tours and stuff. We got back to the hostel after a day and we're deciding like where are we going to go eat. And I said like, it needs to be somewhere with steak. and so we started looking at the menus and somehow it came up like there, a bunch of them were looking for a vegan place. And so like, we just like, are sort of figuring out where are we going to go, where are we going to go. And eventually, like, I can't keep my stupid mouth closed. So I, like, and just started to, like, say, like, oh, like, you know, this is why we should have meat or something. And I don't even remember the conversation, but they ended up just, like, you know, pissed off. Because, like, I want to go get meat. They want to go get vegan. So I was like, all right, peace. You go to your vegan place. I'm just going to make a steak here.
Yeah.
But I go downstairs from the same building, same hostel. And there are these two really nice Mexican girls who came over from Mexico City just playing ping pong. And so I just join in like, hey, what's up? Let's play some ping pong. I jump in with them. And part of me was just like, there's just like a feeling of negative energy from the past interaction of like these people, you know, are just so lost. And like there's probably like eight of them all from Europe. And just like, they're all super plant-based and they were, you know, saying meat's bad. And so I just like, I wanted to finish the night on a win. I can't even remember. It was too long ago now for me to remember, but I somehow weaved this in like while we were just like chilling and playing ping pong. Uh-huh. And they thought it was super interesting. I told them about the carnivore diet and like why, you know, why I eat lots of meat. And you know, I think I might have had like my plate nearby where I just ate a bunch of steak or something. And they were super interested in it and they wanted to learn more. And so I gave them some resources. They followed my podcast and all these things. So just a random contrast of like some people, like European people, I think are pretty fucked along with the US most of the time. Like they're really young people. They're too young to like have experienced pain from doing things the wrong way. And they're still sort of consuming. It's going to be hard to turn that around. I think we're moving in the right direction, but there's a lot of brainwashing there in a lot of different areas that we have to work on. But the people in Latin America, in Mexico, there's a lot of like, I guess what we call like base things in our culture. Mm-hmm. they eat meat. There's like no vegans in Mexico. It doesn't happen here or Latin America. And there's really strong like feminine masculine roles is another one that they have. Two things that I feel like the Western world is just completely thrown out the window and it's causing problems. So I don't know. I'm hopeful about Latin America. I am hopeful about the West too, but it's going to be harder to get through to them.
Yeah, we'll see. I live in such a freaking echo chamber and funny world that like, I don't even know what's going on anymore.
And, like and in sometimes, Costa Rica, where you're
at? Yeah. And then like the people I hang around all the time, like, oh, people are, you know, I don't get exposed to the craziness. Like sometimes I'll see a peep of it on Twitter or whatever, but I don't know. I live in a really crazy bubble. And I guess everybody always wants to be in their own echo chambers at all times. You know, like what just happened with that echo? Have you ever checked in on Blue Sky?
Oh no, I'm not wasting my time with that.
Dude, you gotta just make an account real quick and then just like peep in and see what they feed you It's insane. But then I'm thinking about it like, oh man, maybe if they come out on Noster and then see like the trending feed, they'd probably think we're insane.
What kind of stuff are you seeing? Is it just like blue pill nonsense?
It's insane. Yeah, like what do they call it? Blue cry now. It's bad.
It's so weird how that happened. And this isn't how I expected. I thought that it's really sort of split. Like Twitter is, or X or whatever, is becoming more conservative, and Blue Sky is like the escape hatch for all the blue people. It's kind of split between. There's nothing decentralized about it.
No.
Like there are constant examples of people like from Twitter, like going over there and posting, you know, something conservative and just getting banned.
Yeah.
Why? How is this decentralized?
I don't know.
It makes no sense.
I think it's just more in theory. I can't yet steel man it, but what I kind of got out of it was the interoperability is much harder, as opposed to, you know, with Noster, you can just switch client right away, check your NSEC in there, hope it doesn't get robbed, and, you know.
I don't even know what I don't know the steel man at all, because I feel like I thought that it was at least, you know, there wasn't a central point of, like, censorship, but that's out the window, that people are getting censored. So what's the point?
I really don't know. And I don't know how easy it is to, like, spin up another client or something. But I gotta look into that more.
I think it would actually be a good thing, though, if the people on there, you know, figure out this nonsense. I don't know, though, because it's kind of becoming an echo chamber for, like we said, like the lefty blue team. And they might like it because all the red team stuff is censored. So maybe they'll just not even see a need to go elsewhere. Yeah. But I would love for more of those types of people to come to Noster. It would mix things up a little bit.
And you could even live in your echo chamber, have a client that bans everybody, you know, a relay that's just all blue. But then, you know, you could still, it's up to you to have the choice to see that instead of, you know.
Yeah. I'm definitely a believer in, like, the more new users, the better. Like, no matter how much I disagree with them, like, just bring everybody in, because it has such a great system of just weeding out the nonsense.
Yeah.
Because it's perfect. It just does it naturally, organically.
Yeah. And they're all obsessed with, like, this payments thing that's coming to X. It's like, oh, there's going to be interest on the payments that you get in X if you leave it in the account. I'm like, well, you know, it kind of happens with Bitcoin already. And it's so cool.
And they had payments on X, like, a long time ago. I remember, like, a year or two ago, I think Strike was involved.
Oh, yeah. And I was obsessed with that right away, which I think really got me ready for Zap.
Oh, me too.
I remember I set it up right away. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like paying people, like, oh, this is sick.
Yeah, but no one ever paid me a single dime on there. Did they?
No. No, not at all. Because, it's like more than one click, whereas now it's just Zap.
Yeah. And it's so much more seamless. No one is going to, at least in our experience, no one's actually going to go to your profile and click the money button and pay someone. When on Noster, you have like a button that's right there in your face. And one of the things I love about Primal, and I think, I don't know if other clients do it or not, but you have the leaderboard of Zaps on a post.
So you can't unsee it. Like, all social media looks dead to me without that now.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. And now you can, like, search by Zaps, see who sent the most value for a post. And that's probably got some signal behind it or something. And it's like this strange incentive structure of, like, you want to have, like, I run deals out, you know, I run Daylight's account on Noster as well. And, like, when I see a big post that's really aligned, I just, like, go Zappertize the heck out of it, you know? Like, so everybody can see my little icon there with a little message on each post. It's just, it's so much more alive. And I bet Elon's going to copy that. So, I'm like, we'll see.
If they do, then cool. Like, I'm just happy to see more people, like, getting paid for the content, because that's the way it should be. And this is, you know, the absolute worst case scenario. If Noster just, like, somehow totally fails and doesn't work, it'll at least push all these other platforms to implement these things. They're going to have to copy it.
Yeah,
it's going to, like, help get more people paid. But I just want to, like, quickly clarify for anyone listening that doesn't know the last things we were talking about. So under the post on Noster, there's a zap button, a little lightning button people can press to send sats. And the people who send the most sats, Satoshi is like a tiny piece of Bitcoin. The people who send the most, like, they are highlighted at the top of this little, like, leaderboard under the post. So there's, like you mentioned, the incentives. Everyone wants to have the highest one on there because everyone will see how, like, good of a community member you are. And you can also Zappertize, like you said, which is just advertising something through Zap. So what I have on my Primal account settings is I just have my latest, or, you know, I just choose a podcast episode I had up recently, and I just put the link to that podcast in the field for, like, the automatic, you know, Zap message. So when you Zap something, your link shows up, and you're, like, advertising that link, and everybody wins, because
the person
who's posting just got paid by you, and more than all the other, they got outbid. So yeah. They're, you know, it's like a bidding war for, like, advertising, like, your space.
It's real estate on your space. It's so cool. Yeah. It's such a strange, it's kind of mind blowing if you really think about, like, what could happen when there's millions of people on there throwing money at posts. And, like, it might, yeah, who knows what it'll look like eventually, but it's so fun. So I'm thinking of having, and I haven't said this anywhere on the internet yet, because it's kind of in here and I've been, like, laying the groundwork down, but I want to do, like, a Primal house.
Ooh. So
yeah, that's why I was asking those questions about, do you get lonely not having Bitcoiners around? Like, do you like to roll with people, like, having friends? So I want to do, like, and this is, you know, for Noster, but also very selfishly just for fun.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
I think Laura and I love living with people, and she's coming around to that more. And
yeah,
I don't
it
know.
Is, so, it is super fun, dude. It's a whole different world when you got, like, a community around you.
Yeah,
I think, like a private community. Room in a house full of a bunch of other people is prime, because you get the privacy and you get the community.
I think a casita on the side would be prime, but just go with what you can.
Or what's like casita?
a little house on the side, and then you have, like, house, or like a bunch of little houses on one property. So
ooh, like a little villa of little mini houses.
Little baby network, little baby state, little city, little country. I don't know.
I don't think I've even done anything like that before. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so I think it'd be really cool to get a few people that are in the whole Noster Bitcoin space, and then have, like, people adjacent, like, in the health space, because we're both pretty connected in that. And then looking at a few different places down here that are big that we can shove a bunch of people in and just kind of live. And the cool thing about here is I'm at a cafe right now that I'm about to pay them in Bitcoin for whatever the heck I end up ordering. So they can feel it right away, like, get it, because we're living in the future, dude. Like, we send each other Bitcoin, and then you can just go spend it, like, for your content.
Yeah. And as I mentioned earlier,
it's quite mind-blowing.
This is what really resonates with people, is, like, when they see that, I show them, like, on a screen, like, look, I just posted this meme yesterday, and I got, like, you know, 1,000 sats or whatever from it. That now goes toward, you know, when I can buy something with that. That's real money in your wallet. So, like, you're earning for your content. And it's crazy. It really changes social media to something that I don't feel bad. Like, I feel bad when I'm scrolling on, like, you know, I don't even use TikTok, but, like, that's, like, trash. Facebook, you know, all these centralized, like, LinkedIn is terrible.
I gotta be honest. Yeah. And then my freaking Instagram Explore page is trash. Like, I mean, yeah, I got surfing, baseball, and then there's, like, some chicks in there. I'm damn it, Instagram.
They're,
like,
pushing that so hard, bro. It's always there now. They always like, the sexual content, like the, just like the bikini pics. And, like, you know, I had a theory. I mean, you may have just proven it wrong. I love, like, transformation pictures where people post, like, that how much weight they lost or how much, you know, they got better. So I think the algorithm might think, like, oh, Ben's looking at all these, like, 75% naked bodies. He wants to see more of this. So I thought that was why they're shoving out my face, but maybe they're just doing it to everybody because they want to sexualize everything.
It might be. Just know it's a dude, you know, because their North Star is to keep you on the app as long. Or you accidentally do give a couple extra seconds with your eyes to that content because it's cotton candy. It's like, you know, this hyper stimulating thing. So, like, then it feeds it to you more, and then you just get more trapped because their North Star is to keep you on the app so the advertisers can sell to you.
So you know they have something in the algorithm, like if you spend, like, a millisecond on that picture before, like, immediately scrolling.
They might be looking at your eyes with the camera and stuff, too. I actually unfollowed it. I nuked my entire following from Instagram just because I feel like if I'm trying to promote another social way to do social media, I don't really need to be following a bunch of people on the old way, but whatever. It's still trash. Like, I'll get stuck in there every once in a while. But it's frustrating. Like, and that's how Twitter probably learns you too. You spend a little bit extra time on this fear or rage or something post, and the next thing you know, your whole timeline's stacked with that. And you don't really have too much agency to change like how you want to see stuff. And I think that's just, we're going to look back at this time and be like, wow, we used to do social media like that. That's so toxic. That's so crazy. What?
Yeah.
Giving up all our data and everything too.
There's so many toxic elements out there just to not even social media. Have you heard of the TV show Cocomelon?
No.
Okay. So this is another like weird, just crazy little mini rabbit hole. I don't even know if it's called a rabbit hole, but just like a big tech fuckery in action. Is there's this TV show. I don't even know if I'd call it big tech, maybe like big media. There's a TV show called Cocomelon, which is made for little kids. Like, it's this little kid show. It's on YouTube. It has millions of followers, billions of views. It's like one of the top YouTube channels because parents just give this to their kids and it just keeps them hypnotized for hours because they watch the screen. And it's like super, it's like literally addictive to them because it's super saturated colors, really quick cuts everywhere. And it's like, you know, music that like keeps you engaged, so it's like crack for toddlers, baby. And the way that they actually make this is they do studies. They have these little kids like lab rats in their laboratory, and they have two screens set up. One has Cocomelon, the TV show, and the other one has like normal people doing normal things, like walking around, you know, drinking water, like birds flying around. And they measure when the baby looks at the normal screen, and they take a note and they say he wasn't engaged enough. He stopped engaging with the screen. And so they manipulate the show to like be more stimulating. It's crazy. And so, and these parents that are realizing this, like, it's starting to come up in the mom Facebook groups of, you know, like, oh shit, like I've been learning about this. The show is actually like terrible for our kids. And more so just the screens were bad, but like they realize this show specifically is terrible because it gives them that like a super addiction to this instant dopamine all the time. And so they're taking it away, and they're finding their babies are like having crazy temper tantrums, and they're, you know, just like super like impossible to live with, like a true addiction. Like they had their addiction removed. And it's really crazy. I don't even know like how I got on that tangent, but just speaking of like how these corporations and conglomerates are so, they're like you said, their whole incentive structure is to get people addicted to it and sucked into it by any toxic means necessary. And that goes all the way from, you know, us adults using social media to the baby boomers who are, you know, all on Facebook or whatever, and not all the way down to the babies. Who they know that their parents who are stressed out because, you know, their financial position is screwed because inflation is so bad from fiat. That's a whole, you know, tangent itself. Because of fiat money, the parents are more exhausted because they have to work 50 jobs to support themselves, and they just don't have the energy to take care of their kids. So they just stuff a screen in front of their face.
Yeah.
So it's all connected.
It's tragic, but I get it. Like,
yeah,
but I don't, because I don't have a kid yet. But like, yeah, those things are crazy when they're not just sedated by these little screens. So I mean, that's why I'm so freaking passionate about daylight, because I think we found the perfect balance of having like the computer be a tool but not hyper stimulating, and again, it's not as addicting. Like, there's been some cool stories already of kids, you know, not crying when they take the daylight away. So maybe that's it right there, because to deny your kid access to social media or access to a computer is taking a lot away from them, to be honest. And in this internet native generation, and I don't necessarily know how exactly I'm going to do it with my kids, but they're definitely not getting iPhones or iPads. But I just think it's so cool that these new tools are existing that are trying to do these things in an ethical way and in a thoughtful, conscientious way, which I think is Noster and things like daylight. And we're freaking winning. We have RFK, who's going to go just destroy everything in the NIH or whatever he's doing. Maybe he's going to end the, what's it called? The, not the NIH, not the Fed.
FDA?
FDA, yeah. I mean, yeah. Who knows what's going to happen with the FDA? So we're winning. And maybe it seems like a small minority of us right now that think this way, but a really intolerant minority can move the world. So I think that's what's happening.
Dude, I'm glad you brought up RFK because that is super interesting. I'm really intrigued by what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is clearly dialed into a lot of things. And he's fearless. He's like a man on a mission, dude. He's got like the family history of being betrayed by his agencies. He wants to fuck them up.
Yeah. It's so
the
cool
question is what's going to happen when this guy comes in to this behemoth of a system that, you know, wants to just continue controlling everything.
But it seems like it's now we versus, it used to always be like they, yeah, they're trying to control everything. I've never known who this they are. I don't go that far down these government conspiracy theories, rabbit holes, CIA, whatever. It's like, but now it's we that are in power, the internet, you know?
I'm all about criticizing even the people. I will say though, I am all about criticizing even the people that I support in most ways.
Mm-hmm.
I can't fucking believe that. Did you see the post for that UFC night when he ate a bunch of McDonald's with like Trump and Elon?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
That pissed me off. How, like, that's stupid, bro.
I wonder if he did or not.
What's that?
Oh, did he have it in his hand? I forget.
It was right in front of him. He had like a bottle of soda and a burger and a fries. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, is it really that hard? Like, just say, like, I will sit this picture out. It's a bad look.
Yeah, who the heck? I mean, it was great memes, you know. Memes.
People were all saying, oh, like, give him a break. It's a cheat day. Like, I get it. You know, cheat days happen. It's all good. But like, when you're, his press was so amazing for like the couple of weeks leading up to that.
Yeah,
like everyone was stoked about him. People are talking about seed oils everywhere, and like there's a huge, you know, momentum. And when that picture came out, it was really just a facepalm for me. Like, come on, man. Like, look, I know none of us are perfect. Like, sometimes we all like cheat, but when you're the face of this thing, you got like think about your image a little more. And you know, he's mostly doing really good. Like yesterday, he had a video of him like putting a turkey into like a vat of tallow. I think I didn't even watch
that
thing.
But freaking go, dude. Yeah. We are so winning. It's funny because, you know, I used to work with Saladino, and it just feels like this message that we would just constantly obsess about. And I'd do all of his videos, and seed oil, McDonald's, and it's like, okay, now we're in the White House.
Yeah.
You know, it's so cool. So I'm bullish on the whole Bitcoin and Nostr thing too, because I want to amplify that signal. I swear it gets amplified from down here.
And there's so many things that RFK is also dialed in on, but I'm not sure, you know, how much bandwidth he's going to have, you know, because he definitely above all the other politicians in terms of Bitcoin knowledge, based on like watching the speeches at the Bitcoin conference. I don't know if you watched all of them, but I watched his and I watched Trump's, and Trump doesn't know shit about Bitcoin. I'm sorry.
No. And he's just horrible to listen to. He just rambles, but
I couldn't stay awake, bro. It was like 40 minutes of just talking about nothing. And so
we're all hyped because we thought Elon was going to pop out or something.
I know. Were you in the Tucker audience too? In that big audience?
I was just watching outside of it.
I was in the thick of the audience, bro. I was there early because, like, I mean, this is history. I got to be here for this.
Yeah, yeah.
And like everyone was bustle. It was like an hour late or something. They kept saying, oh, like, we're trying to get something together, like, we're waiting, there might be a secret guest. And people on Twitter were like following Elon's plane and saw that he was in Nashville, so everyone thought that was gonna happen. So it was a little disappointing, didn't, but it's whatever.
I know, dude. I still wonder what was supposed to happen and maybe gonna happen. I also wonder what the heck Elon's doing with his Bitcoin and why he doesn't say anything. He's probably waiting for the X payment thing, and that's my guess.
Do you think that, so I haven't even followed that actually probably as closely as you have, what exactly is the plan? Have they said what they're going to do?
We don't know. I just saw a leak the other day. It was just like, it's obvious that they have filed for money transmitting licenses all over the place.
Oh, that's right.
So that
was
probably like, you know, Trump being close to Elon, Elon being close to Trump's like, yo, give me these things and probably be easy, you know. It's like, okay, you got to give your arm, leg, and a left nut to transact, which is, Bitcoiners don't like that. Not really liking to asking for permission either. But anyways, yeah, so we'll see what that ends up being. There's probably going to be some cryptocurrencies in there that you can pay with. Yeah. So.
Some what is the Trump shit coin? The World Liberty Fi?
Yeah, something.
Bro. Come on.
Just so bad, like, you know, both you and I see so much purpose and, like, mission and you know, the potential of what Bitcoin could do for the world. But then there's just all these systems that people can just game and get cash from. And it's like, are we here to game the system? Maybe. I was talking to a friend. He told me in the water the other day, ayahuasca told me to buy altcoins. I was like, no
You took
way.
The wrong strain, bro.
I was like, no.
Try again.
It's like, no way. But then, I mean, he followed it up with that second sentence, like, well, these systems are meant to be gamed. I was like, huh.
Wow. It is.
It just doesn't
tricky.
Feel right. But it's like, how do you sleep at night? Me, I sleep at night only if I'm 100% Bitcoin. Like, I literally have an email this morning. I'm out of cash again. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And that's how I roll.
Like, I really believe that this is a question that's always been bouncing around my head. Is like, what is the absolute foundation of this awakening process for people? And a lot of, it's easy to make an argument for Bitcoin because, you know, money is everywhere. It's half of every transaction. Like, it builds civilizations. You could even make an argument for Noster. Like, this, humans are communicative beings. We build social communities. Maybe, like, fixing the social network is how we bring people back. But I think it's, like, I keep coming back to just health. Like, overall health and wellness. Because if you, like, that person is a super example, or great example, and all the other people you talk to online who are sort of just sometimes not even knowing it, sort of nihilistic, like, oh, it's all rigged, everything's corrupt, you just have to play it and, you know, scam other people before you get scammed. That sort of mindset. I think that the way that we get people out of that mindset is just fixing their hormones. I really think that's a hormone problem. If you are, like, especially if you're a man, and you're not motivated to help make the world a better place for the future, I think that your testosterone is probably low. Like, you'll if you go to an Ethereum conference, you're never going to see, like, healthy Jack dude. It's a bunch of, you know, like, soy boy twigs, you know? That, like, these aren't healthy people. And I think there's really a correlation there. You know, people who are really healthy and thinking long-term just end up on Bitcoin because it actually changes the world, where all those other ones, like, they have some marketing around them saying they change the world, but it's not really that hard to dig through it. And I can also say this from my experience, and you had a shitcoin phase too. We both did. Like, now versus then, when I was doing that, I'm so much healthier. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think it really is health related.
Yeah, maybe that's interesting. Yeah, hormones, and that could be more of a Tristan question. He's a big health nerd.
I talked to him recently too.
I mean, I don't know if it's the health thing or just like what you did mention, just the low time preference, like the cyphidine thing. That's really what it comes down to, being able to think long term, because then of course you won't treat your health like crap. It's like, you know, what am I going to eat that Twinkie because YOLO, I only live once? Or I'm not going to eat that Twinkie because YOLO, I only live once. Like, I don't want to be unhealthy. Like,
yeah, it's like the same mindset.
I don't
want to
feel like shit.
In different directions.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think that the time preference and, like, your hormonal health are very deeply tied, mm-hmm. because, you know, when you fix your, and it's, I think this is even more intense for women. I see this when women fix their hormones, they all of a sudden just are obsessed with having babies, you know, most of the time, like, and they realize, oh shit, all this time I've been, you know, thinking about my career and, like, being independent. I don't need no man. Like, I was really just unhealthy. Mm-hmm. As soon as, you know, they fix that. And the same happens for men on the other side. You know, you both kind of realize what's really important in this world is to have lots of kids and create a legacy and create a better future. I think that comes from having healthy hormones.
And, I wonder. I'm trying to, you know, play it back in my head. It's like, well, I didn't even think for myself, though, until I was out of college, to be honest. Like, I was, you know, handed a curriculum. I was playing baseball. My life made sense, right? I had no time to think for myself, or I just didn't feel like it yet because my bubble really worked. And when my bubble popped was when I was on the bed sick right after I got done with grad school. Like, literally the day I graduated, I got sick for some reason. It was some autoimmune flare-up. And there I am on my bed questioning everything. And that's when I found the Bitcoin and the health rabbit hole. So for me, they kind of came at the same time. But I guess with fiat, it is just impossible to think long term with everything. Like, I met this guy here the other day who's telling me, like, yeah, I try to double my money every year. And I was like, dude, great. And he's like this really wealthy dude, but he had no peace. It's like, what are you doing? Just sleep at night, dude.
He did what to his money every year? I miss what you said.
Double his money every
year. Oh my God. Yeah. That's, I don't know how sustainable that is after a few years.
No, I don't know, man. like you're going to get rectified.
Unless you're all in on Bitcoin, maybe.
No, maybe. Stay
on. Dude, how about that Bitcoin price, bro? Like, let me look up. Last time we talked was August last year, August 23. Let me look on this calendar
August
here.
August 23. Oh,
I'm
remember.
Curious.
Yeah, what? I was dropping sats at the market every day.
let me see. This is August, December, August, September. Okay, it was under 30,000. It was like 29,800.
That's awesome.
Last time we talked. And
that's
now
hilarious.
It's 97,000. When are we going to hit this freaking 100K?
I have no idea.
So part of the reason why I like want it to stall as long as possible is because do you know Anthony Chafee, Dr. Anthony Chafee? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
So I went on his podcast like a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. And I did a recording with him where we talked about Bitcoin. And in that recording, it was the price was like 60K. And this was like only, you know, a month or two ago. Like it's gone up so much. And a lot of the framing I put in there was like, you know, this is eventually going to take us to 100K. You know, like we're going to see it eventually. So if we pass 100K and then that episode finally comes out, it's going to not fit as well.
So he hasn't released it yet?
He has a huge backlog. Like,
okay, good for him.
He's like 3 or 4 months behind because he's so busy. Like he's going to all these conferences everywhere.
Yeah.
And he does like he's just such a hardworking dude. Like he has a massive like trail, and most of his episodes are more like timeless because they're just about people's health stories.
Yeah, true.
So, and this was I came in just like a wrecking ball, just like orange pill all these people, like just give them the entire story of why the Bitcoin is such a huge part of fixing health.
Yeah.
So I don't even know how good of a job I did because this was the day before I was leaving on this Mexico trip, the night before. And he's in Australia, so it was like, you know, midnight or something.
Uh-huh.
So I was just like exhausted, like stressed about the trip in like 7 hours and just like ranting about Bitcoin. How it's gonna go. And or if even it'll even come out before 100K, but we'll see. I'm excited to go back and listen to it.
Yeah. We're kind of on a mission. Tristan too, like to you know, orange pill all these health space people. It's like they are all so primed and ready to to get it and jump on board. But there's something that scares people. I'm not sure what it is.
Mm. Have you tried like getting them on Noster? Have you had any better luck with that, or is it tricky for both?
Well, the thing is, people don't want to spend time on another social media. Like, yeah, you can maybe tell them, like, yeah, it'll be the next thing, but is it really? So there's got to be easier ways to cross post, of course, but. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, there's so many everybody that lives down here is obviously a pre-corner. They all have stories of why they got away. But it's funny because, you know, there is a certain amount of risk and education you got to have. But, like, understanding the fiat system, nobody understands that either. So it's almost kind of funny. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it just sucks because there's bad actors in the space that you got to be careful for.
Yeah, and that's like people always will use that line that they only want to invest in things they understand, but nobody understands the fiat, and they're all saving in that.
Exactly.
So it's flawed logic that's just sort of passed down as a narrative, as a propaganda message. Is this why you this is reason number bazillion why you shouldn't, you know, invest in this thing? You should continue playing our fiat game.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my schemes for this primal house is I want it to be just like this health centric house. And like the word primal, I think it's the perfect name for the
dude. Let's brainstorm on this. This is like the most excited I've been in this conversation. Primal house.
Yeah.
The primal palace.
Primal
we
can palace.
Come up with a cool name. Yeah.
I think primal house is good enough.
Give me your brains. Let's brainstorm this. I'm ready to just spearhead this with you, dude. This would be sweet.
Yeah. It'd be so fun. Like I just have to lock down a place and I don't necessarily know how much of like the whole Noster thing that we put in there. It's just obviously it's going to happen or if it even gets sponsored by Primal or what, but just having a house with a big house that people can come down. And then I want to market it as a way, like everything, all the gimmicks in the health space that aren't gimmicks, you know, I'm going to switch every bulb in the house to being red. There's only going to be cast iron and stainless steel pans. I'm going to say we got grass fed beef. We got a saltwater pool. We got everything. We got river access. You're not allowed to wear shoes. Lean into all that stuff.
Absolutely. Ball sunning zone every day.
We're gonna cut the Wi-Fi off at 9 p.m. If you need it, you'll have a Starlink in the corner with to wear a shame hat. Fun stuff like that. So
I love it. That's a great idea.
And then you just sneak the Nostrum Bitcoin underneath it. It'll be like a lot of fun.
Totally, dude. Yeah. And if there are so many good deals out there, this wouldn't even be that huge of an expense if you got a big group.
Yeah, I think so. So just a couple months. So I'm thinking of doing it like March and April in Costa Rica while still the dry season. Yeah.
That sounds sweet.
Yes. So we'll have like a nice couple Bitcoiners, hopefully like half normie-ish of the health space, and get them down here and see what happens.
I see a lot more of these like big health influencers going down the route of like running these retreats when they have a big following, because they can sell them out super quick, because a lot of them have really passionate followings that love their content, and they trust that person is sort of dragging them down all sorts of rabbit holes. So they really want to be with that person.
The human interaction is absolutely everything. But the thing is, I want my freaking life to be a retreat.
Yeah, exactly. And we can make that a reality.
I think so.
Neither of us individually have like a massive following like those people do, but we could get a squad together that together we would have enough.
Yeah, I think so. And we could boost the signal. And people are always asking me about Costa Rica and where to go, how to come down. Do you have a spot? Like, I think it'd be super cool if we could just get everything dialed for them, especially the people in the health space. Like, you'll roll in and we got raw milk in the fridge and grass-fed beef ready to go. Like, you don't have to worry. Yeah. You're already going to be set. You're not going to sacrifice your health for anything, You got people, everything.
So, and I've been looking for an excuse to come to Costa Rica anyway, dude. So let's.
Yeah, so this will be the excuse to actually make people come, too.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
And there's Bitcoin jungle. So you got like the whole market. If people want to go like do other things, like there's
market potential. Restaurants. The thing is, when they come, I would not let them spend fiat.
That's a good rule.
I probably will not tell them till they get there, or maybe I'll put it in the fine print, but you're not spending fiat at the market. You're literally going to give me the cash and I'll give you Bitcoin and then you go spend it. So you can keep fueling
that should be
economy.
A house rule for sure.
Bitcoin that only. Will be a house rule. Bitcoin only. But then they'll get to, see, I took Laura's brother and girlfriend here at this place I'm at right now, and watching his eyes like just go off when I literally just paid for something in Bitcoin, just a mind blow for people. And of course, we're years in the future already being, majority Bitcoin or whatever you are, and actually being in a place where you want to spend it. But people need to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And this is the ultimate place to do it. Or like El Salvador or other circular economies. But
in the amount of places that are becoming more Bitcoin oriented is increasing. So our like the possibilities of place we could go is increasing.
Yes, exactly. Exciting. So yeah, I just had
another idea real quick to throw at you. So the house rule is you can't spend fiat. There could be like a list of house rules.
Yeah.
And like the wearing shoes, that's a demerit.
Yeah.
Spending fiat or, missing a day of sunning your balls.
Yeah.
got up
past sunrise, missed the sunrise.
Yeah. Missed the sunrise or the sunset. Like these are all things, and you can encourage people to like track this, like on a daily, like a notepad or something. And there's like a shame pool where if you break the rules, you have to donate sass into this pool. And at the very end, whoever has the highest score wins it all. Or you could like donate it to OpenSats or something or some cool, or you could just donate it to like the Bitcoin jungle or the local like economy somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere cool.
Oh yeah. You just got to buy ribeyes for everybody or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much there.
Really gamify it. Like this is speaking of human things, human beings love games. We've lost this, people have lost our inner like gaming child where we want everything to be fun. Like, kids are always just trying to play and like it's stomped out of them through the schooling process and all sorts of these other forces on the outside.
Yeah.
We need to bring play back. That's a huge theme that I really believe in. I think that and like surfing that you do is such a good way to do that. Like that's excellent adult play where you're out like playing this game of me versus the ocean. Yeah. And even when I'm just like swimming, bro, like I could just feel it when I'm in Puerto Escondido and there's big waves there. Just yeah. going out. I went out in the middle of the night, like full moon, like with a bunch of people. I brought some friends out and we all just went butt naked and just went like running into the waves.
Nice.
And just like battling these giant waves coming after us, like trying to like not get knocked over by the waves.
That is dangerous in Puerto.
Yes, and really fun.
Yeah. Yes, very fun. It's only, yeah.
Until one just crushed me. I don't even know if you can see my shoulder is like red on this side.
No, but, you got wrecked.
One, so I was trying to do like the body surfing thing where you just wait for a big one and you just jump and try to like surf on it and just by your body. And it just gave me the fucking pile driver, dude. It just like nailed me right into the sand.
Yes.
And it fucking hurt. It was,
oh, like, but you love it.
Basically right here on my head and neck just crushed me. I was yeah. done after that.
I love that what you said about play. Like, I mean, my trippiest moment of my life was without psychedelics. It was with breathwork. And I walked into this thinking I was doing like a surfing breathwork thing. Like, I'm a surfer. I want to hold my breath longer. Here we go. And this guy walks me through, like, you know, you're breathing like crazy. And he's like, okay, go visit your older self. What's he doing? Go visit your younger self. What's he doing? And I had like two, you know, they call them downloads, you know, in that space. One was that I wanted a family and I felt what it was like to have a kid. And then the other was me throwing, when I saw my younger self, it was me throwing a ball against the wall over wow. and over and over again, just playing, just for the hell of it. And that's completely stuck with me. And I've thought since then, like, that's kind of my role is to make everything fun and play. So it's kind of what I'm trying cool. to do out here. and I've never really lost that play thing. Like, that's literally all I want to do. And I know, like, you know, people winning in business is definitely play and it feels like play, but staring at a screen all day is not quite humane either. So yeah, I want to figure out exactly what the balance is for me and other people.
I would maybe make an exception if you're posting dank memes on Nosh or getting sats for it. That's fun. That's play. We'll call that
yeah,
play.
That's great. Yeah, that's play.
But that's crazy, definitely. Though. That was purely from just doing, like, an intense, like, breathing exercise.
Yeah, have you ever walked into a breath state? Yeah. Have you ever taken a class?
Can you elaborate on what that was? Nope. Like, was it, like, Wim Hof or something?
No, I don't even want to tell you, really, because I don't want you to have any expectations. But there's definitely got to be one in Sayulita, so go seek it out.
Ooh. What do I look for? I'm going to write this down.
Just look up breath work, yeah. Just looking for – there's got to be one in Sayulita.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm only here for, like, two more days. I'll see if I can fit it in. If not, we'll are there some in Costa Rica? We can add that to the list of activities for
probably. Yeah, definitely. We can bring in an instructor.
There's so much in that breathing rabbit hole, I feel like. That's a whole rabbit hole in itself, in, like, the health space. Do you know the guy Peruvian Bold? Does that ring a bell?
I actually just know his name, but I don't know what he talks about.
Yeah, so he's, like, a finance guy on Twitter, but I – and Noster. Him and I traveled in Colombia together for 6 months total over the last couple of years. We did two separate trips there, and we figured out we both live in Seattle, quite close to each other. Mm-hmm. So we traveled together, and one of the first things he said the first night that we got there was like, "Bro, if you hear me making a bunch of loud breathing noises, I'm not dying. I just do this like Wim Hof thing before bed every night."
So yeah,
I go to bed, and like 30 minutes into like trying to fall asleep, I hear this.
Yeah,
and you're just like doing this for like 10 minutes, and like apparently that just does this oxygenation of your blood and just like kind of resets or something like that. I don't even remember what the science is, but he swears this is the best. Yeah,
it's just changes. Humans love it. You know when you're a kid and you just like to go run around and be dizzy. We just love getting fucked up, dude.
With a baseball bat just spinning around in circles. Remember that?
We just like to get into weird mental states. And that's all Wim Hof stuff is to me. And yeah, maybe there's some superpowers that come with it with the cold and what he's able to achieve and actually getting really deeply in touch with yourself. But definitely try it if you haven't done it either, because it's cool. Don't try it in a pool.
The idea of doing drugs without doing drugs sounds wonderful.
Yeah, and it's still the most profound experience I've had. And I've done a couple psychedelics as well. So, and it's really cool that I was able to access that without anything. It's just there with your breath.
What
it's called holotropic breathing.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. What were your psychedelic experiences? I don't think we ever talked about that before. I'm curious what those did for you.
Nothing too much. I do remember there was one profound moment. I was just doing some acid and was in Newport and watched this guy on a boat with some girls on the boat, and I was, and it just all looked so empty, and I was just like, that ain't it. That ain't what I'm looking for. You know? Besides that, not too much. And then like nothing that's like really stuck set in stone, unlike that breathwork experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because I hear some people have really profound, like life changing moments that puts them on a more positive direction if they do it in a smart way.
Yeah.
Speaking of Peruvian Bull, my buddy, that was like a big part of his story. And sometime I want to have him for another episode and maybe talk about that more. But he, for him, psychedelics and doing mushrooms like really helped him shape his vision for his future. And he had a crazy, you know, I'll probably butcher this and let him tell it later, but he essentially had this, he did like a macro dose of, I think 3 or 4 grams, if that's right. Maybe it was 5 even, like a lot. And he wore an eye cover, and basically, and this is something I learned from talking to him and doing a little like research on the side, is that if you really want to experience these really deep, crazy effects, you need to cover your eyes. Because apparently your eyes sensory have so much input that it like hogs all of the experience. Yeah. And that's all I've done so far when I've done shrooms is like eyes open, like out exploring. Like the last time I did it was when I was in San Cristobal. They had a bunch there. And so we went to this little like hippie music festival out in the woods on the river. And so it was super fun. It was super cool. And I loved it. But I've never done one of these like eyes closed, like purely internal introspection experiences. Yeah. I feel like at some point I want to try that. But he said he had this vision of like seeing, like you said, you saw your younger self, you're playing catch with him. He said something similar, like he like met different versions of his future self. Whoa. And, you know, going from like the deadbeat, like bad version to like the current path, and then this like super jacked, like hero version with a sword who's like a, you know, a warrior, and like this is how you get to be much better than you want. And all of this is just, you know, just sitting there and just going through this in your brain's crazy, bro.
Brain's crazy.
The brain is insane. I was just thinking about this morning, actually. I had a dream last night. Just the way that dreams can get so crazy is just a fascinating testament to your brain power. Like I remember within my dream, I have this memory of just like watching this entire television show. And like when I woke up to the sunrise, I could like remember all these different episodes of this show that doesn't exist that I just made up in my head.
What?
Like in my dream, it felt like I was watching this for weeks, you know, like the time is so stretched out. It's crazy.
Yeah. Who knows what's really going on in there or how much we can access.
It's in there's so much in there that, you know, and I am intrigued by these different types of psychedelics out there. I've never done anything outside of like weed. In terms of psychedelics, weed, shrooms, and acid, I'm probably never going to do acid again because I just feel like, why would I do this synthetic thing when mushrooms are there? I feel like it's more natural.
Yeah.
I'm open to maybe trying ayahuasca and the other similar ones. I had a chance to do it in Colombia, but I bailed out. I was like, eh, I don't know if I'm feeling it right now. I you want to be in a very specific headspace when you do something that intense, I feel like. So I don't know. Maybe for someday. Me, I'm not sure.
I don't really feel called to do it. And a lot of people do it just kind of pretty randomly here. And I have no inclination to do it at festivals or like mushrooms at festivals. I think the next time I'll do a psychedelic is going to be, like a eyes closed guided thing. I'm pretty curious about that. And I grew up really like straight edge, like Christian. And I thought I'd go to hell. The first time I tried weed was like when I was 25, I thought I'd go to hell. And I don't like weed. I never smoke it. Everybody thinks I'm high all the time, but I never smoke it. I just got so curious to the point where like, I got to try mushrooms. And then I researched it so hard, didn't trip at all. And I've still never really done a profound trip on mushrooms. Yeah. But I am pretty curious about doing a guided one. And then I'm also, the MDMA stuff's pretty fun. Like that.
Oh
that,
yeah, I've done
you
that.
Really, you can
it's been
feel
a while.
Love. Yeah, like a little reminder that that much love is like always there. If you just want to tap into that.
I talked about that.
That's a cool reminder.
Do you know DJ Valerie B Love? You know her?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's amazing. She when she came on my podcast a few weeks ago, she told me about her story, and for her, like, I think it was ecstasy for her, like all the same thing. Like that was involved for her. And we had talked about that a little bit. And for me, the first time I did MDMA was in like this big music festival setting, like a lot of people do it. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, the way that my brain works, I don't have an addictive personality. I don't get addicted to these types of things.
Yeah.
So for me, I feel like this weekend out, just surrounded by beautiful people, dancing with good friends, like listening to this great music and doing a bunch of Molly. It literally made me permanently happier. Like after that, like a bunch of people are talking about how, like the come down is really bad. And, oh, you'll want it again more. I didn't touch it again for like years after that. And I did a couple more times in college, but very rarely. And for me, like the memory that it made was so beautiful and amazing that like, to me, I think that life is all just about collecting memories, you know?
Yeah, I think so too. That's definitely worth spending your Bitcoin on, experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, that I still look back on that experience and just think that was so amazing and beautiful. And it just reminds me that life is so beautiful. And so to me, that was like a really well spent like health sacrifice, because I will always say these drugs are not good for you. It's not good for your brain. So some people argue that mushrooms are like not even bad. I haven't gone deep enough to really explore that, but if you do it smartly, apparently it can even like, you know, grow new parts of your brain and like actually be beneficial. And
yeah, microdosing is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to learn more about that, but I haven't gone too, I think that a good default state for people to be though is that the drugs are typically not good unless you do it really carefully.
Yeah.
Especially now because of this stupid like fentanyl thing, and it's just like these drugs aren't even safe to try anymore. There's kids everywhere dying from it. It's just crazy and insane.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, the last time I did MDMA, it did stick with me as well, and it was like so beautiful. And then one of my things is I've never been too comfortable dancing for some reason, and
that
like that's completely
me,
completely off brand.
Yeah,
like I should just be able to pop into my body at any time, but sometimes I get way too in my head, or like it takes me a long time to warm up and get into it. But the like a year after I did it, I was able to tap into that MDMA feeling of just loving it, and that was a superpower for me, dude. But I kind of lost it. I kind of lost what it was like.
That's funny. And that's a good example of where, like, if, and this is why I think it's important to be in a good headspace when you go into it. And you don't want to be, you know, like really depressed or anxious or in a negative state of mind, because these things really just amplify everything.
Yeah.
For me, when I was there, I guess I was going through some rough times, but overall, like, I was really happy. And so it just really boosted the happiness. And it just, like I said, just left that memory. And I don't think it like changed any of my actions in the future like that. That's funny though. Like it pushed you through the discomfort.
Yeah. I just was able to like tap into like having fun and being a chick that always dances, you know, like,
yeah, you can just like think back to that and like,
yeah,
just transport your brain back into that moment. And it could just be part of like a therapy process of like getting yourself re-comfortable to this thing.
Yeah. Just connecting with
inner child. I
might
have to
do that
for karaoke because I fucking hate karaoke.
Oh, me too, man.
I don't know if I care. I don't even want to get better at that.
No, but being able to do that stuff is a superpower.
Yeah.
Or especially dance. Like being able to just go and dance anytime, like at a club, stone cold sober. Like that's where I would, as a practice, go make myself do that all the time. Like go out with friends and not drink and just make myself dance. And once you get into it, it's great. But sometimes, man, it's so rough.
I did that a lot in college, actually, mm-hmm. which is, you know, I was in fraternity, so there was just constant drinking everywhere. Gosh. I definitely participated. But yeah. I think there was sort of a phase in my last year where I just, there are like a bunch of clubs all around Seattle that you could go to. And a lot of them are free to get in because they expect everyone's going to be buying so much alcohol.
Yeah.
So you can just go in for free and just, you know, you could also like smoke some weed if you wanted to, and just like, you know, that could be your thing. I think anything's better than alcohol. Like, weed's better than alcohol. But anyway, no drugs is the best. If you can go out and just completely enjoy yourself without any mind-altering substance, it does just make you feel sort of superhuman. When you're surrounded by these just sloshed, sloppy, drunk idiots everywhere, just like falling over each other, and you're just completely...
Like, I'm not gonna hurt in the morning. Let's go.
And you're having just as much fun as everybody. That is a powerful feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of that for sure. I did that quite a bit, and I do recommend it to people out there, especially if, you know, I think people need to also be real about themselves and how their brain works. Where if you get to the point where you feel like you need these things just to have fun, that's when you need to like take a hard look in the mirror and realize like this is getting too close to addiction territory.
I go to Bitcoin conferences and stuff, and it's like we drink wine every night, and that's not bad, but do you need it every single day? Like people drink every single day, and the definition of an alcoholic is like 5 drinks a week. Like, yo, who's an alcoholic around here? I don't know.
Yeah, and I see a lot.
And that's the thing at the Primal House, you know, we're not going to be doing that. Maybe wine once a month.
Primal House, we're clean. We're going to be clean as a whistle. The Primal House.
We'll have organic wine once a month just for that, I guess. But you
know. we'll have.
It's primal to get a little dizzy every once in a while.
it'll be Ben Justman Peony Lane wine.
There we go. Let's go.
But yeah, it's I think that there are a ton of people out there who are total stoners that are not being honest with themselves about the fact that they are addicted to weed. Like, yeah. I knew a lot of people that would get to the point, and I even had points of this in college too, where I smoked a ton, where, you know, oh, I'm going to have dinner soon. I'm going to go smoke a joint first.
Yeah.
You know, just like before every little fun thing that you have in your life, you think, oh, like I might as well make it a little bit more fun with some weed. Mm. And so you just get into that mindset, and then this is starting to become like, you know, the new normal, and it's feeling less fun to do these things without it.
Yeah.
And that's when you got to peel off and like just finding points in your life where it could be, you know, a supplement thing. I don't think is the worst thing in the world, but just being honest with yourself is important.
A supplement versus like a prescription versus something that you like need to function. Even with supplements, a lot of them become prescriptions for people, like thinking they need coffee or they need everything. They need their pills. They need their omegas or whatever. I mean, it's tough now to get everything you need with just the food and water that we have today, but...
Yeah, true. It's, man, there's so many just poisons everywhere, and this is... It's hard to not get really black-pilled when you just continue to research all the things that are being poisoned.
Yeah.
You know, like, we...
I just want to go ask God, like, yo, what's the worst one? Was it the seed oils? Was it the artificial light? Was it the... What's the biggest thing that really got us? Was it the water?
Chemtrails, dude.
Was it the chemtrails? Like, fuck.
Have you dove into that one?
Nope. Only scratched the surface. But, you know, dude, life's not that hard if you just have the view through everything that you just need to be as close to living like a monkey as possible. And then when you start to think of all these ways we're fucking with nature and with how we're supposed to live as a human in 2024, like, dude, just peel it back and just live simply. Like, okay, yeah, food with one ingredient. Yeah, you're not supposed to move the clouds. Like, there's the reason for things, you know?
Yeah. It's all part of just an anti-nature agenda, and it's so frustrating and maddening. The more you learn about it, the more it just, you realize how much evil is out there, and it's, you have to be careful about how much you dig into it, because for your mental health, you know.
Yeah.
For me, I just feel like, you know, someone has to do the dirty work of like really researching this and pushing out, you know, content that people can nibble on and you know, go down a rabbit hole at their own pace.
Yeah.
And for me, the chemtrail/geoengineering one is one I just kind of looked into earlier this year. And you know Daniel Prince, right?
Yeah.
He's pushing it really hard. And so, like everyone else for years, I thought, oh, that's total crazy conspiracy theory. Of course, everyone knows you're crazy if you talk about that. And watch a couple documentaries, and I just, oh fuck, it's actually happening. Yet again. The crazy conspiracy theorists were right once again. And when I find these crazy truths out there, I just can't stop myself from like learning more and sharing about it. Yeah. And this is also a great, you know, I posted a lot about it on Noster too, because there's no censorship over there. This is like the most censored thing I've ever seen of all the crazy rabbit holes I've been down, like going through just reading articles and, you know, forums and people like posting these videos of things. All the videos are getting taken down off of YouTube, like super quickly, people getting completely deplatformed from it. It's a crazy one, dude. And this is like the most anti-nature one of them all. Like the fact that heavy metals are actually being sprayed in the air by the Bill Gates class of lunatics who think that we need to block the sun, you know, because you've seen those headlines, right? Of like Bill Gates invest in thing to block the sun. Like,
yeah, I've seen that.
I feel like we've all heard of that. They're fucking doing it. Like this, the lie is that it's framed in this way. It's like theoretical, like, oh, they might be doing this. He might be, you know, in this project. No, they're fucking doing it. They're literally outfitting planes with sprayers to fill the sky with aluminum nanoparticles to reflect the sun away. This is what fiat money does, is they have unlimited ability to do this. And there's like these Harvard, you know, this guy named David Keith who does it. And I made a whole episode about it. There's like a bunch of movies, but it's, once you wake up on this one, a lot of things start to make sense around you. Like you can see like sun, for example. When I was at Puerto Escondido, it was bad there. It was really bad, which is so depressing because it's such a beautiful little town. And the haze was just blown over from Mexico City. You could tell on the hazy days, people would be sunburning like crazy. You could see people were like just taking on even more sunscreen, still getting burned because it turns the sun into a grow light that just cooks you. And so I didn't even go out on those days. I would wait till there was a clear day. And like here in Sayulita, it's been much better. So like I'm going out in the sun every single day here. But like once you
it turns it into like a even stronger sun in the cloud. What?
So
is a different wavelength of light that burns you easier or something?
So the haze from the chemtrails it's made of aluminum nanoparticles. It's heavy metals. They're literally just like magnifying that on you. So it literally, and you can see even just the color of the sun. Like if you look at pictures of, you know, a spray day versus non-spraying day, you can see that the spectrum you're getting from the sun on like a clear blue sky day is like yellow and warm, and on a day where there's just haze over it, it's like white. It's like a grow light, and if you track like how quickly you sunburn on each day, you're going to burn way faster on the spraying days because it's just the reflectivity, you know. And their stated purpose is to reflect the sun away to cool the planet and save us from global warming. But in reality, it's like just turning the earth into a grow facility. It's like cooking things on there. And you can see like certain plants too. If you start looking around, you see like plants will have like more dead leaves that are hanging on. This is a common like thing that the plants show, is that dead leaves are supposed to fall off the plant. But if there's dead leaves hanging on to the plant, that's aluminum poisoning. It's because of the aluminum. Yeah. It's depressing.
How could we think that's a good idea? You know, think we could just mess with nature like that.
That's what these people do. And this is why people just don't even really go in to look at these things, because they think there's no way that anyone could be that insane to do something that crazy. Like, it's their sky too. Like, why would they do it to themselves? These people are so insane that they think that they're saving the world from global warming. And this is what Bill Gates does. And, you know, he does this like appeal thing where he puts the plastic on the apples. He's buying all the farmland. He's, you know, just literally today I saw something. He's like pushing this you know, some toxic additive into like livestock feed to make them fart less.
Something about that. Yeah,
so like
I didn't look into it, but
he will not leave a single piece of nature untouched. He wants everything to be full of chemicals.
But it's all in the guise of good, though, isn't it? It's
just like, of course.
But
they always spin up this story about how this is going to be a good, like for the cow thing, like this horribly toxic shit they're feeding these poor cows. They're saying, oh, it's to prevent them from farting, to reduce methane. That's what they say. And like they always have a story. And like for the appeal thing that they're putting like the plastic coating on the fruits and vegetables, oh, it's to make them last longer on the shelf. It's good for you. It's helping your. And they don't mention how you're going to be ingesting these like microplastics.
Yeah.
And for the spraying the metals in the sky, it's because you know, we have to stop global warming. So we have to cool the planet down. They use this example of this volcanic eruption, Mount Pinatubo from decades ago, how this volcano erupted and it created this huge cloud of sulfur around this large area, and it lowered the temperature of this very large area of land. So they're saying, let's just do it ourselves. Let's just create this cloud layer, this artificial cloud layer that cools the planet. It'll save us from global warming.
But and does nature make mistakes? No.
Exactly. It's just,
so you wonder, what I like to say sometimes is, you know, Bitcoin sprung out of a need for humanity when nature was creating all these technologies, the internet, whatever, Hashcash and what all the cryptography that people were creating. And then you could say nature put it together and offered a solution, just like, you know, the crazy Terrence Howard, you know, that guy that was trying to break math with Joe Rogan.
I haven't listened to it yet. I want to.
Those are awesome. I don't know what to believe in. It's too complicated. But he said something like, you know, it maybe it wasn't even a rhinoceros, but it has a horn because nature made it that way because it needed to defend itself, right? And with Bitcoin, you know, 2008, the financial crisis, then we birthed this Bitcoin thing. Noster, I think it was originally published it came out in 2020, right before COVID, but, you know, it's this, like, right when censorship really comes up and the flow of information was getting stopped, this thing called Noster comes about. So, like, you wonder what's going to happen with this whole chemtrail situation.
Yeah,
whether
I mean,
we're going to fight it with some sort of a freedom tech, or if we're just going to vote with our feet, or like these evil people are actually going to be removed by the we, who I think are starting to take more of the power in the world. Mm-hmm. Even though it's like, do we want to root for governments? But yeah.
So I'm in a top secret group chat of Bitcoiners that are all, you know, following along the story. And Daniel Prince is in there, Ephrat Fennixon, Walker is in there. He's on it. He knows what's going on.
Yeah, he's a smart dude.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of people in there that we basically are just sort of following along the story and trying to, like, boost certain people that are getting it out there in a way that we think more Bitcoiners can get on board, because we need Bitcoiners in on this. Like, we are rabbit hole diggers, and this is, like, extremely important. And where's I going with this? I was going to say...
what's the resistance?
What's that?
How are we going to win?
Yeah. Oh, so RFK. We keep bringing this guy up. He has acknowledged it before. He's the only politician that we can find, like, any, like, federal politician that's acknowledged this.
Yeah.
He commented on a post earlier this year of, you know, this video that's basically sort of breaking down how, you know, this whistleblower pilot, you know, talking about how, like, there's the chemtrailing program is, like, extremely highly paid, and how they find people who are super jaded to humanity, and it's, like, almost paid as much as Air Force One. Like, they have a super high pay.
Really?
And there's, like, a whole fleet of unmanned ones as well, because, you know, we obviously have the technology. Of course, they're using, like, drones. Basically, a video that an RFK commented on and said, we will stop this crime, period.
Let's go.
So he's on it. And he's been on Dane Wigington's YouTube channel. This guy is a guy that made this really well-known documentary called The Dimming, which I recommend. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
You have to watch it, dude.
I think Jack posted about that.
Yeah, Jack Cruz, you mean?
Dorsey, even.
Oh, Jack Dorsey. Wait, what?
Yeah, he posted about it.
You're kidding. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I think he put the YouTube in there.
You're kidding. Okay, well, he's on it, dude. Jack's on it.
Yeah, they're all on it. You know who's the source of all the influencers is Jack Cruz. No matter how crazy he is.
Yeah, because he's posted on chemtrails before, for sure. I've seen him post on it.
And then, you know, like, Rick Rubin's kind of influencing people with all the red lights and everything and his glasses. That all comes from Jack Cruz. So I swear he's, like, the influencer's influencer.
Do you remember where Jack Dorsey posted that? I'd love to see
it. Yeah, it was on Noster. And now you can go for advanced search on Primal.
Wait, what? Can you show me this live? Can you go find this?
Well, let's see if I can. Yeah, let me share my screen. Okay.
You got to click share first. Pressure's on. Let's see if it works. We didn't mention earlier, listeners, but Primal just had an update, so there's a lot of new features, and one of them is advanced searching. Your browser lacks system permission to share screen. Wah, wah.
On. Just give me a second.
I could try it. Do you want to walk me through it?
Yeah, it'd actually be fun to walk you through it.
Okay, but let's do it. Let's see.
Oh, wait, no, I don't want to quit. Yeah, how about you do it?
Share screen. All right. Brave tab window.
Okay, so go okay. into the explore page right above your DMs.
Do I, like this one?
Yeah. Now go to advanced search.
Okay.
Now, posted by, go Jack.
Posted.
Scroll down a little bit. Posted by, put Jack in there. Okay. And now go to include these words. Type in dimming.
Should I go grab the link to the video? Does YouTube sometimes change the link text though? I feel like it has.
Possibly.
Because sometimes when I click the share link twice,
because that's like a shortened. Yeah, it's like a shortened thing, so it could be.
Yeah, so it might not work. We'll try it though.
Okay. Yeah, posted by Jack, and then put in YouTube. Okay.
All right.
Here we go. Search.
We got three.
God damn. No, we don't have the link anymore.
It's tough. I think this is partly just the fault of YouTube just being weird with the links. But yes. We did get the. So that looks great, though. This is already better than freaking Twitter. The Twitter advanced search is garbage now. Have you played with it at all?
Well, yeah, a little bit. And now it just looks stupid compared to Primals, because Primals, you can search by zaps. You can put content scores. Like if you remember, this post got a bunch of engagement or little, you can put like a minimum, maximum likes, or you could even make YouTube on Nostr, see all the long form posts being made. Like you can just search by videos and search length. It's insane, dude.
Videos?
Yes.
Wow.
You can put a minimum and maximum length on there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So there's just a major, like, and this is the cool thing about just having access to the developers and the Primal, you know, the guts of the thing is that you can request different things like this.
Yeah.
They're still active on there. So if there's some other parameter I'd want to change, I could just ask.
Yeah, we're just going to change like the fact that you can go back and edit the feed, because now you can't. Like you'll set up a close friends feed and then you want to add a friend and you can't do that and then you have to do it all over again. That'll come eventually. But yeah, it's awesome.
What's it like working with Primal, dude? I feel like this is a super, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I originally reached out to like do another episode with you, is that the Daylight and Primal combo is such a power combo.
Like, I can't imagine a more powerful combo.
Yeah.
Like, perfect. I'm literally trying to help, or at least put my name towards trying to fix computers and social media, the two things that everybody spends their most time doing every day. So, like, if we can make those better, it'd be, I think, a good legacy to leave behind. But Primal's awesome because Million feels like he's selected for this job, you know, and it's just like a God mission type thing. He tried to write his own protocol one day, and then when he saw Nostr come around, he was like, this is it. So it's more than just work or whatever. It's more than just a cash grab. It's like a mission, and he's built something before, so he's really professional and just a great dude. You'll meet him eventually probably. And
yeah,
so he's a great guy to work for. And then the whole thing, what Nostr stands for, freeing information, fixing social media, in my opinion, is a really epic task to work towards, because we've seen how it just murders the trajectory of humanity without having humanity, or without having the information being able to flow smoothly, and having corporations in charge and like one single CEO and able to kick off presidents or ban information. It's just, it's horrible. Like when you ask the question, who should have the power to censor? Like it's a very slippery slope if you want to have one person in control. So even Elon, like, come on, he can't even control. He's kicking people off his platform left and right as well. So what Nostr provides is an opportunity for, even if we ban someone from our relay at Primal, they can just run their own and still transmit information. It's a beautiful thing.
And this really annoys me how a lot of people are completely embracing this idea that X is the free speech mecca of the internet, because, you know, even just myself as an example, that's not the case anymore. You know, I used to get, there's so much backing in proof that shadow banning is happening all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, I used to get, you know, like 500 likes a post regularly, and now I get like 7 to 12, you know, and I post the exact same thing. And people always reach out and say, like, I never see your stuff anymore. It's never on the feed. They control the whole feed. So, like, of course there's going to be censorship. They're controlling what shows up. It's obviously manipulated. Even if they're not completely kicking you off, I think it's even more you know, malevolent if they just say, oh, like, we're super free speech, it's all, like, open, when they're really just, like, secretly shadow banning your content. So you're putting all this work into it, but no one sees it. And this is
why... the fact that they're able to do that annoys me.
Yeah.
Or not, maybe not able, but, like, there's just no... Well, there is an alternative. We know about the alternative, but... Yeah, and the fact that you change your entire mind when you're a creator trying to create for an algorithm, that's what really, it's interesting, because it's like, maybe it is what's entertaining, what's going to captivate the audience. But, and now it's like, as a creator, or someone, you know, running a personal brand, you have to create for these algorithms and optimize for them, because that's the right business decision to get more attention to your, whatever you're selling. So it's like really messing with our brains as a whole collective.
Yeah. And we talked about this a lot in our first episode too, just how, you know, your social media diet and what you produce and consume really changes your mind a lot, especially since people spend so much time on these devices. Yeah. They don't even think about how much time they're spending, but the first thing that most people do when they wake up is start scrolling. It's the last thing they do before bed. They're doing it on their lunch break. You know, like, they're constantly consuming things, and it's there's just such an invisible side to that that people don't really pay attention to. Like, who is showing them those things?
Yeah.
Because it's all bought and paid for if you're on a centralized platform.
Exactly. So it's programming.
Super bullish on Noster. And it's cool to hear that. I think that's the story for a couple other client heads that he was, like, trying to work on something like this before already. And as soon as it came out, it's like, he's already way ahead of the game, ready to go. So that's why, like, Primal is just so, like, ahead of the rest. It just looks so beautiful and it works so well. So
also because we took a slightly different approach, you know, not doing the grants, we raised funds. And that's kind of, some people didn't want to do that. You know, the super hackers are kind of against, like, the VC approach. But yeah, we want to make a business that's sustainable, and we want to remind people that use it that you guys are actually our customers.
Yeah.
So what can we do to give you guys the best service? Completely different incentives versus what can we give the advertisers? How do we get as much time on our platform so they see as much? It's a completely different question.
Do you have any insight on seeking. Do you have any insight on what the future holds? Like, are there any big goals, or is it pretty much like we just had this big update, so people are kind of taking a deep breath after that?
Well, who knows what... No, we're not taking a deep breath. We're pushing gas, dude.
Cool.
Yeah, we want all of the world's information to flow through Noster, and Primal wants to be one of the best clients for the social media use case. Like, the most beautiful one, and the most useful one. And we'll see what eventually brings people to Noster, whether it's a social media client or something else, a chat app. What's going to make it make sense for the for everybody? I don't know. I have no idea, but yeah, we want to be one of the best at, or the best at, you know, getting all the information in a beautiful way so that you can access it and it all makes sense.
Yeah. It's infinite possibilities and just
preparing. And then we're going to orange pill the freaking world.
Yeah. The possibilities are infinite, and it's just the better prepared we can be for these huge adoption swings, the better. Like, were you locked in and watching when the whole Brazil ban happened?
Yeah.
A couple months ago. That was nuts. There's so many people joining. Those, like, it was also combined with the Telegram CEO. Yeah, yeah.
That's when everybody joined.
Yeah.
The NPubs were flying, and then they all left. They're all gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, maybe a couple hundred stuck around, but that's okay.
It's crazy to watch these big bursts, and it's sort of similar. It's so similar to Bitcoin in a way, you know, because you see these blips of activity just hit, sort of like the Bitcoin price just spikes a few times. But as we're seeing with Bitcoin, it just keeps going in an upward direction, even if it's quite volatile. So, you know, I think that just this is why I tell people. And one of the other things I would tell people when I'd onboard them is just be prepared that this is brand new. There's still some kinks here and there. That's part of the fun. You're early, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that all these people creating accounts, they've at least had, like, a solid touch point now. So when
and that's better than nothing.
Come through, they'll come back. They probably haven't deleted the app. They still have the app.
Yeah.
So.
And then their first touch points, there's so many people that have had so much pain with Noster. I've had so much pain with it.
Yeah.
And I was off the app when Domus got banned from the app store, the Zaps, I kind of left. because I'm still kind of a zap maxi. I think it's the coolest thing that possibly one day you can just give sats to everybody in the world, like airdrop the world almost. Like just yesterday, I was making a video of, you know how you can post an invoice on your feed and it renders nice?
I've never actually done that before. No? I should try it.
So yeah, you can post an invoice of a Lightning invoice on your feed and you can pay it. And it renders very nicely. So yesterday, it was a scheme thing. Like there's these people in the Dominican that went and to the place that accepted Bitcoin and bought, or were going to go buy some stuff. And they put the invoice from the vendor onto Noster and I paid it. So I paid directly to the vendor. And that's only happening on Noster. It was so cool. Yeah, the video will probably be out next week. It'll be fun.
Cool, but, man.
I mean, just the fact that you can just spread, if we're on one currency, you know, there's, I think, yeah. I mean, you know, Bitcoiners are very generous people.
It's we'll just going to connect people in a huge way.
Level playing field.
I 100% believe in the idea that the purple pill helps the orange pill go down, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like I said earlier, pretty much everyone's heard of Bitcoin and they know it has at least some value, even if they're just like a bunch of nonsense kind of mixed in their brain. Yeah. When you tell them that this is a way that you can just start earning it passively by just toasting what you normally would anyway, then they start to perk their ears up. Like, and they're curious to learn more about Bitcoin, you know?
Yeah.
Because once you, it doesn't matter. This is a funny thing. You just have to have some skin in the game. It doesn't matter if it's like a tiny speck of your finger in the game.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just, you know, a few hundred sats you got on your introduction post, you know, then it's something. And this was another part that I didn't mention earlier when I would onboard the people I meet while traveling and still am, is I make sure they have a banger introduction post. I literally like look at their phone, like, okay, you need like a picture of you doing something cool. You need a picture of your face, like show them you're a real person, get a cool banner, write out this whole like, you know, bio. And then I at the last minute, I kind of take it from him and like put in a couple hashtags I think will get good engagement. And then I post it through there. And I would say at least 50% of the time I do that with them and like give them a really good introduction post. It blows up. It goes on the primal like
trending. I know. Yeah, I see them. That's why that's why I started this conversation with like, dude, you're crushing it.
Yeah, it's super cool. And like you said, even those people that I, you know, you can do everything right, walk them through all the steps. You know, they'll earn some Bitcoin on their introduction post. They still won't stick around because people have busy lives. You know, but I would consider that a very good touch point. And, you know, I'm going to continue like bugging them because I usually follow them on Instagram too. You know, it's still a great, valuable experience and it's pushing them further toward that, normalizing it. And, you know, as Noster continues to gain name recognition, you know, because a lot of these people are still in the mindset of following certain influencers and big names to like, you know, decide when it's time to, you know, go try these new things.
Yeah.
And so, and that's when we'll see, I think, the crazy adoption swing. When we get big influencers start to decide they're just leaving the big platforms and come to Noster instead.
That would take balls, though. That'd take some serious balls.
Yeah.
So I get it, but
especially for like people that have really big audiences, because they have a, well, it's actually two-sided, because the people with big audiences, like, you know, Ken Berry, for example, we talked about earlier, it's a risk in the sense that, you know, and I'm not sure if he even knows this. I haven't mentioned it, but like, I definitely, like we talked about earlier, I think that Twitter has some sort of shadow banning function built in for people to talk about Noster. I'm very convinced of that. So that's the risk, is when you start posting about this stuff, it may hurt your engagement. But at the same time, the people with the big accounts and a lot of followers and large audiences, they have the most to lose from the decentralized platform as well. So they, in a way, are like the most primed because they feel the most danger when they're talking about anything outside of the norm, because they could be screwed. They could lose a huge amount of work they put in.
Yeah.
So I think it's just like talking to everyone in a certain voice, in a certain way. Like one of the guys I brought on when I was there in San Cristobal, in that house I told you about, is this really cool dude who has like 115,000 subscribers on YouTube. He has a travel channel. And so I, you know, and he had a great banging introduction post. People, a bunch of people followed him. Super cool dude. And like, that's what I told him, like, man, you have a kick ass YouTube channel. Like, I know you don't talk about like controversial things. It's mostly like travel content, but wouldn't it be cool to have like a home base that is completely impenetrable, and you don't even have to like, you know, make crazy posts or different posts. You can just post your YouTube links to your video. And this is just a place where people can just shoot you sats and send you money for your content. It's way smoother than what's it called? Super chats or whatever bullshit YouTube has. It's like a
super thanks. And yeah, like, dude, nobody does uses any of that stuff.
It's similar to the Twitter payment system, which is just a pain and just not smooth and not well integrated, where people don't want to go through the trouble of doing it and learning it.
Exactly.
Nostr just opens up an extra income stream because people can just, you know, they see your, and also when you post links off the network, off
Nostr, you get demonized.
Yeah. So in everywhere Twitter, else, like any link off the platform, you get crushed because they want people to stay there and stay stuck on their platform. So if you post a YouTube link or a podcast link, there's no mystery why those get way less engagement. People know, like, I feel like people that do it a lot, they'll realize, oh, I get like no engagement on these posts. It's not because no one cares about the thing or share it. It's because it's like 90% de-boosted by the algorithm. And there's no algorithm on Nostr. So everything that you post will just show up chronologically. And
exactly.
It's beautiful. And this is why I post so much random, just completely off the cuff things that I like, songs I'm listening to.
Yes.
Or like little movies I'm watching or funny videos I saw, like anything, because
it all
belongs really
there.
Appreciate the humanness, and you're not punished for it. So why not? You get some zaps sometimes.
Yeah, you totally ask a different question when you're up on there posting about it. They're posting. It's like, what's actually valuable that I could provide? What's funny? What am I feeling right now? Like, what wants to come out of me? Because it also just feels good to produce.
Yeah. Yeah, it's natural. It's what humans want to do, you know? It's so natural for us to want to be passionate about something and just share about it, you know?
Yeah.
And that gives us a perfect place to do it. It's beautiful.
Yes.
Paul, is there anything else you want to cover, my friend? We're coming up close to 2 hours here. This has been an awesome, completely random conversation, just like last time. I think that's kind of our vibe, is we just never have any idea what we're going to talk about. We just go.
Just go for it. Yeah, we're quite aligned in a lot of things. So down many similar rabbit holes, so we could probably go for like 6 hours.
Yeah.
No, just give Nostr a try if you haven't for a while. Have
check
some fun.
Out the Primal update. Go check out Daylight. Yeah. Super cool. Yeah.
Chill, and then come to the jungle and hang out with us.
Yeah, come to the Primal House we're going to be working on. That.
Let's go.
I want to definitely help you with that, because that sounds like, I think just like exploring around in this part of the world, in Latin America, just inspires you in a way, you know? Because not only are the prices more accessible, but you're also just in nature more, and you have a lot more space to, you know, uptake these healthy habits. Like after we're done, I'm probably going to go walk on a beach and maybe go for a swim. It's right down the street from me, you know.
Beautiful.
These things just make you, like we said as well, like you want to share these things and get more people on board. So if we can make a place where more people,
and it's also easier when there's more humans on the same wavelength too. So
just bringing more awesome people together, and like you said, somehow I don't know exactly how we would do that, but bringing in some people who aren't as locked into all the rabbit holes, and just like getting more people on board, I think that'd be fun. But
yeah, it would be.
Yeah, cool, man. Well, it was an absolute blast talking to you, sir. Again, glad we could do this. I'm sure we'll do another one in a year, and we'll have like a million new things to talk about. It's
let's
you never
go.
Know what it's gonna be.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, dude. And it was great meeting you in Nashville. Super fun seeing you there. And we'll have to find another time to connect at some point. I'm not sure if it'll be this year or whenever, but we'll be in touch and figure out. Eventually, we'll be back in the same place.
Sounds good, man. All right, pro vita.